Okay, so what we're going to look at today is in particular focusing on the question of Hades. This was, I think, a question that came up quite a bit last week, and I wanted to just spend a week talking about what the Bible tells us about Hades. So if you look at the chart on the back, and of course, this is on your screen, it's a bit more clearer because it didn't copy as great. But working from left to right, I want to think of this as a 3x3 grid. Okay, this is a 3x3 grid. You have three different realms. You have heaven, the realm of the God of life, earth, the realm of those in earthly bodies, and then Hades, which is the realm of death. Okay, so as you work through this, Matt, come back on with me for a second. Whenever you hear Hades, Hades needs to be thought of as
The place in between heaven and when we go when we die.
no, not that's not it. Okay, no, that's not it. That's the thing that I want us to not think of. Okay, Hades is the place of
Death.
death. Is that good or bad?
Neither.
Bad. No,
Bad.
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 Bad. Okay, y'all. So this is where I think a lot of the confusion, and Matt, I'm glad you did that, because I think this is probably where some of the confusion with Hades is coming into. What Matt just said there, I think it's a common idea that Hades is merely the place that all people go to upon death. No. As you work through the Bible, the term Hades is to be seen as an enemy. It's a bad thing, okay? Always when you have Hades, think of death. Hades and death. Hades is the realm of death, okay? These are the three different realms. Then we have three different time periods. We have the current life, the in between before resurrection, and then eternal life, okay? So here we have three different realms and three different stages. So right now, we of course are in our current life, and of course, we're all on earth. We as people consist of spirits and we consist of bodies. And currently, our body and our spirit are united and we are on earth. We are on earth. Okay? Hey, Jerry, I see your face first. If you'll come on and talk through this with me, then let's work through the chart.
Okay.
Jerry, so this is the in-between stage. This is the in-between after the current life, but before the resurrection of all people. Where do all bodies go? In this in-between time, where do all bodies go?
Well, according to your chart, all bodies go to Hades.
Yes. Now, here's what's meant by that. Hades is the place of death. At times in the Bible, the word Hades is simply a synonym for the grave. Okay? So, because right, a graveyard is the place of death. This is the place of death. So naturally, then all bodies go to Hades. But after death, before resurrection, where do righteous spirits go according to the chart?
Paradise, which is heaven.
Yeah, they go to heaven. Where do unrighteous spirits go?
They are in Hades.
They're in Hades. That's what the scripture says. They're in Hades. Okay? So this is that in-between stage after death, before resurrection. Okay? But Jerry, currently you and I still have a body and we have a spirit that's together. So where are we?
In the current life, is that what you mean?
Yeah. Simple question. We're right here. We're on.
Yeah, in the current life on earth.
Okay. Now then, this right here is eternal life. This is after resurrection and after judgment. The righteous, so y'all, this is what we're talking about next week. Okay? So we're going to talk about resurrection and eternal life next week, new heavens, new earth, all that stuff next week. According to the chart, Jerry, righteous people consist of two parts. What are the two parts that people consist of?
Bodies and spirits. We get a new body.
That's it. A transformed body and a renewed spirit is going to be in what the Bible calls new heaven, new earth. Okay? And that's why this is put together right here. New heaven, new earth put together right here. Versus the unrighteous bodies and unrighteous spirits, they will be in the lake of fire. Okay? So they're down here. So y'all, this I think, so Jerry, let me ask you, Jerry, questions about the chart, things that don't make sense on it?
Okay, yeah.
Go ahead, yeah.
When David said that the Lord's body would not be left in Hades.
Yes.
Now, is it the grave or is it, I know it's not unrighteous spirits. Yeah. I know that, but I would think it's very confusing.
Okay, great question, great question. Okay, so did I already ask y'all to go to Acts 2?
Yes.
Okay. So Jerry, I actually read this at the Lord's Supper this morning, and I'm sure this was one of the passages that jumped out to everybody. I want y'all to look to Acts chapter 2, okay? Look over to Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 29, Acts 2, 29, okay? Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Now, let's just stop there for a second, Jerry. Is Peter talking about David's body or David's spirit in verse 29?
He's both dead and buried, and his tomb. It's talking about his body.
Talking about his body, right? Currently, both in the day of Peter and even in 2020, where is King David's body?
In the tomb.
Which the Bible would call?
Hades?
Yes. His body still is in the grave. His body is still in the place of death. Okay? So y'all think of it this way. Heaven is the place of life. Hades is the place of death. David's body is still in the place of death. Okay? Keep reading. Verse 30. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to keep him, that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and we are of that, and of that we are all witnesses. So then, Jerry, looking at verse 30, this is talking about what event?
This is the death of Christ.
Yes. Okay. Upon death. Now, let's just go back to teaching from last week. Upon death, this is at the crucifixion, but before his resurrection. So in that three-day period, where did the spirit of Jesus go?
Hades.
I'm going to say heaven.
Heaven?
Yeah.
Well,
remember what he told the thief on the cross. What did he tell the thief on the cross?
This day you will be with me in paradise.
And we know, and I could show many other passages that show, Jesus went to the spirit of Jesus went to heaven, to paradise upon death. But here's, Jerry, the point. Where did the body of Jesus go?
Hades.
Hades. So y'all notice this. Verse 29, the body of David remains in Hades. In the place of death. Verse 31, God did not leave the body of Jesus, but resurrected it. And that's why, verse 31, Jesus was not abandoned to Hades, because at resurrection, his body was taken out of the place of death, reunited with his spirit, and God's amazing work of resurrection began. And that's what we'll talk about next week. But y'all, whenever you look at a text like this, this is where it's very important to distinguish between body and spirit. If you don't distinguish between body and spirit, where then must we conclude Jesus went to? What do you think, Jerry? Yeah, we would have to conclude that the spirit of Jesus went to Hades. And I can assure you that is filled with a litany of doctrinal problems to claim that Jesus went to Hades upon death. Jesus did not go to Hades. The spirit of Jesus did not go to Hades upon death. The spirit of Jesus went to paradise upon his death. For 3 days awaited resurrection. His body after the 3 days was resurrected, taken out of Hades. And then at resurrection, body and spirit were united. And Jesus was resurrected from the grave.
Okay.
So you can't say that in verse 31 when it says nor did his flesh see corruption. That to me says he didn't experience death the same way that we would.
Oh, I would agree. Why, Pam? What made it different?
Because God was, God had special plans for him.
Which was?
A resurrection.
Right. Now, y'all, if you look, this is the other page of my handout from this morning. Let me just read this paragraph real quick, okay? I actually answered this question in detail. This is the second paragraph down. Did Jesus go to Hades? At the cross, the spirit of Jesus went to heaven, paradise. Whereas his body went to Hades. The grave can be thought of as the place of death. Yet when his body was transformed and united with his spirit in resurrection, Jesus overcame death and Hades. Now, all these passages, the Acts 2:27, that's quoted from Psalm 16. All of these other passages make allusion to that. But Pam, talk through this with me for a second. King David dies. What happens to his body?
It goes to Hades.
Moses dies. What happens to his body?
It goes to Hades.
Our loved ones die. What happened to their bodies?
Goes to Hades.
What about people that are cremated?
Right. Let me get to that in 1 second, Bonnie. Okay. But Jesus, he dies. What happens to his body?
Well, you're saying his body goes to Hades for 3 days until he's taken up. But to me, I think of Hades as the corruption. So that's where I'm having a hard time with it. Maybe it's just my perception.
Yes, it is. But here's the point. For 3 days, the body of Jesus was in the grave. Okay. In this case, Hades is simply a synonym for grave. For 3 days, the body of Jesus was in the grave. Until resurrection happened, he's given a transformed, renewed body, and then no longer does he remain there. That's why the death of Jesus is so different from the death of anyone else in all of history. Jesus is the only one who has ever been resurrected. Y'all, Ethan, I see your hand. Give me 1 second here, okay? Jesus, to this point in history, is the only person that has ever been resurrected. No one else, to this point, has ever been resurrected. Resurrection for all of us still is a future hope. For Jesus, it's a present reality, okay? All right, now, Ethan, go ahead. You raised your hand a minute ago. Ethan, I cannot hear you for some reason.
Sorry.
There we go.
Okay. Once again, apologize if you've already covered this.
It's fine. That's fine.
Just for me, so Moses' body is dead. It's decaying. David's body is dead and decaying. Yep. But like on the Mount and the Transfiguration, that's the spirit of those men coming from heaven, which is still very much alive and well and very much in their own. So that's why those men would recognize them. And that's why. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So Transfiguration is a great example, right? Transfiguration, you see Moses and you see Elijah come down from heaven in an image there. But yet they themselves have not been resurrected. They themselves are still awaiting resurrection, right?
Right.
All right. Bonnie, in reference to cremation, the best explanation, I think, from this really goes back to Genesis 1. Ultimately, we ourselves are made from dust. I think God is going to deal with and work out his own plans of resurrection however he desires. So I don't see us hurrying the process a bit, hurting that. It is interesting that cremation is at least in Western society, something of the last 100 years. It was not common to Western society before the last 100 years, there's a whole litany of reasons for that. Let me answer a couple other questions here. I've had a few private comments about 1 Peter 3:19. I'm going to deal with that text in the atonement study in a month, okay? So for those of you who are wondering about 1 Peter 3:19, I will deal with that text, but I do not think it's negating anything that I've taught, okay? It is a difficult, complicated, confuzzling text, But I do think there is some, clarity that I can give to that passage. But just in short, I promise, I do not think that passage says that Jesus, the spirit of Jesus, went to Hades. All right. Another person asked me about Lazarus. Okay. Matt, come and talk to Lazarus with me for a second.
Sure.
So you're going to tell me how to spell this. Was Lazarus resurrected?
Yes.
But what still happened to Lazarus?
He decayed. He stunk.
He died. He died again, right? Was the widow's son in the Old Testament resurrected?
Yes.
But what still happened?
He died again.
That's what I would call resuscitation. Okay? You know, Lazarus and many other people in the Old Testament, they were resuscitated for a time, but they were still going to die again. Jesus, however, was resurrected never to die again. And that's why the resurrection of Jesus is not just mere resuscitation, but it is resurrection to life, never to die again. Okay. One other question here then. I was also asked the question, aren't graves on earth? Yes. So y'all, let me just work through the chart here. I got out of order because of some questions, which is fine. But let's, this is the page from this morning.
Brian, I have a question.
Yeah, Robin, can you give me 1 minute to get through this?
Sure. Okay,
so y'all, look at this. Whenever you think of Hades, think of it as the realm of death. Okay. Whereas Hades, and all this, of course, is on page 4. I give all the passages for this on page 4, and you can work through those in your own time. But here's the synopsis. Whereas heaven is the center of life, Hades is the realm of death. This one's really important. This one's really, really, really important. Paradise is not in Hades, but the opposite of Hades. Let me say that one more time. Paradise is not in Hades, but it's the opposite of Hades. Paradise is the place of life. Hades is the place of death. They are absolute, teetotal, polar opposites of one another. Okay? The scriptures describe spiritual forces of darkness at work, not in Hades, but in heaven in the current age. You never, and this is fascinating, you never see the spiritual forces of darkness at work in Hades. Heaven has been, and I think this is the reason, heaven has been cleansed, but Hades will only be punished. Heaven's been cleansed from sin. Hades will never be cleansed. God has never offered redemption or reconciliation for Hades. Rather, the only thing that awaits Hades is going to be punished and brought to judgment in the future, which is the critical distinction between the life-giving presence of heaven and the realm of death of Hades. Okay, so let me go back to my chart then. I've had another couple of questions asked to me here that hopefully this should clarify. So y'all, Hades needs to be thought of as the place of death, both physical death and spiritual death. Hey, Natalie, you were one of the ones that asked this question. Talk through this with me real quick. So Natalie, in the Bible, Hades is seen as the place of both physical death and spiritual death. Okay, but we need to distinguish the two. So Natalie, spiritual Hades, okay, where the spirit goes to Hades, is that a visible or invisible place?
Invisible.
Invisible, because the spirit is?
Invisible.
Invisible. Spiritual Hades is an invisible place. Versus my body going to Hades, my body is?
Physical.
So
visible.
Visible. So then, earthly Hades of the body is?
Visible.
Yeah, it's just the grave. So y'all, this is where we have to, again, the Bible uses Hades or Sheol, to describe both terms. But Hades of the spirit is, of course, an invisible realm that can't be seen. Whereas Hades to which the bodies go, all bodies, is simply a physical place, which is another name for the grave. Okay? Jerry, let me answer your question real quickly here. Jerry asked a really good question. How do you deal with his soul was not left in Hades? This goes back to, as I've said, if you look through the Old Testament, the word for soul is a lot closer to the word person than it is to the word spirit. So this is something that in English has really got discombobulated. But if you read the text, he will not leave my person in Hades. What he's talking about is God's not leaving me in Hades. It's not there talking about the spirit being left in Hades. It's talking about the soul or the whole person being left in Hades. And that's why I think that it's a foreshadow of resurrection, because once the spirit of Jesus reunited with his body, then Jesus was not left in Hades. Does that answer your question, Jerry?
That helps. Yeah.
Yeah. It just goes down to, we have to be very careful with the word soul. Okay. Now, Robin, go ahead.
Okay. You may have answered this and I just not understood it, but
hey, Robin, can you step a bit away from your mom's computer?
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that better?
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. You may have said this and I just not understood it, but when you said that when Jesus died and his body went to Hades for those 3 days, did his soul stay there or did it go to paradise immediately?
Okay, I want you to answer the question for me.
Okay.
When any of us die, for any righteous person who dies, where does their spirit go?
Paradise,
heaven.
Right.
Where does the body go?
It stays in a grave.
It stays in the grave, which is simply another way of saying Hades, the place of death.
Right. So
Jesus' spirit went to heaven. His body went to the grave until he was resurrected and body and spirit came together.
Okay, because I was confused. I thought maybe he, because of the resurrection thing, his spirit stayed there too.
No. His spirit and body, and that's what we'll deal with next week is resurrection, but it's the unification of spirit and body.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead, Eric.
Do you have any thoughts about those two are resurrected in Matthew 27? Like, do you think they died again?
What was the last part of that, Eric?
I mean, do you think they were just resuscitated and they experienced death again?
Yeah, I do. That's an excellent question, Eric. So, y'all, what he's talking about there is upon the glorification of Jesus, there were people that came from the grave and walked around Jerusalem. Eric, whenever you look at passages like 1 Corinthians 15 that talk about Jesus as the first fruits of resurrection, or even Colossians 1 type passage, I would have to conclude from that Jesus was the first one resurrected to true newness of life, and they were merely brought as sign acts of what was about to come with Jesus.
Yeah. I just never knew how to make all of it, you know, fit it all together, I guess.
Yeah.
But that does make sense.
Yeah. I would liken what they did much more to what happened with Lazarus than what happens with Jesus 3 days later.
Yeah. Because it does seem to be more of a symbol of, you know, upon his death of he hasn't even resurrected yet, you know? He hasn't even resurrected. So, you know, it does seem to be more of like a symbol of what is to come.
Absolutely.
And what you were saying about our soul, Jerry, I think of it like as our being, like our soul is our whole being. Like we are a human being and we have like, you know, a spiritual sense that is our spiritual being. But to me, like the soul is just your being, no matter which part you're talking about, you know, like it's just you and you have all these different aspects of you that make you you, but the soul is your being, like you.
Yeah, very well said, Eric. Yeah, very, very well said.
Is this light? This just crossed. When we're talking about Noah and the ark and the eight souls who were saved, those are the people.
Yes.
It's not a spiritual thing. It's the people. Okay.
Yes.
ask a question?
Go ahead, Helen. Yeah.
They said that some of the people were still, like David, was still in the grave. When they said Jesus comes back again, they're supposed to call everybody from the graves, I guess, to get the resurrection. Is that right?
Yep. That's it. And that's what we'll talk about next week. Yep.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Yep, that's fine. That's it, Helen. It is. I mean, that's what resurrection is. I mean, y'all, resurrection is the Christian hope. If I had to summarize the entirety of the Christian hope in one word, it's resurrection.
So all bodies from the grave.
Absolutely.
Well, I thought they was going to be burned up, you know, because the earth is going to be burned.
Yeah. So, and we'll deal with that, Helen. I've actually had a few people ask me that this last week. And I'll deal with that next week. I promise you, I will deal with that.
That's fine.
Brian, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Alice.
Like Christ was raised from the grave, is his body in heaven like it was on earth?
I'm going to deal with that next week, Alice. But in short, yes. I mean, whenever Jesus was resurrected, he was given his resurrection body. Which then, whenever he ascended resurrected body and spirit to heaven.
Okay. Yep. That's what I understood.
Yep. Yep. Good question.
Hey, Ryan.
Yep. Hey, Mark, let me get Ethan. He had his hand up for a few minutes. I'll come back to you. Go ahead, Ethan.
We are, the pastors that refers to the idea that when we get to heaven, we will neither marry nor be given in marriage.
Matthew 22, yeah.
But if we are still if we are who we are, even in spirit form,
yeah,
and we will recognize each other, like the rich man recognized Abraham, would I not say recognize my spouse, but I would no longer be in that or feel like I need that? And I know that some of the problems of the world don't exist anymore, so I don't need that support. I don't need that help me so much to get through the troubles of this world, but... And because I'm replaced, because I'm in the presence of God and I have everything I need. But I don't know, just kind of working through that maybe in my mind of, I don't know. I don't know what I'm asking, but I'm just trying to make sense of that.
Yeah. That's from Matthew 22, Ethan. And it's a very rich text. It's a very rich text. Somebody actually asked me a couple weeks ago, you know, I didn't deal with a question in here about will we know each other in heaven. Let me do another write-up, Ethan, and I'll deal with that text in more detail.
Gotcha.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, in short, I think that text has been dilapidated to say a million things that it's not saying at all.
Okay.
All that text is saying is there won't be sex in heaven. All that text is saying. Why won't there be sex in heaven? Well, because we don't need to be fruitful and multiply. I mean, God's perfect paradise has come. I mean, and actually there, he's bringing up angels for a very intentional purpose. But whenever you look, that's from Matthew 22, 23 through 33. He actually talks about spirits in heaven whose bodies are dead that still know him and he knows them. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he says that I am not the God of the dead, but of the living. And it's interesting. He refers to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as living because they're in his presence. But in short, I think I can feel very confident to say what Matthew 22 is saying is there's not going to be sex in heaven. It's not going to be a need for it because we don't need to be fruitful and multiply. But all of the other litany of doctrines that have flowed from that text, I think, are just reading into what that text is just not teaching. Yeah. But let me – I'm actually doing a write-up about that question, and I'll send it out at some point.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a good question. Mark, go ahead.
I just want a little bit of clarity on paradise, I think. I know that, you know, on the old charts, you had paradise and Hades and then a line between the two, the gulf. Of course, that's based on the parable.
Yeah.
Which has some interesting... things about it, but I'm just also recalling, I may need some clarification about John chapter 20, where Jesus said, when Mary was touching him, he said, I've not yet returned to the Father. So as far as paradise is concerned, I mean, do we take that literally that he hasn't returned to the Father? Some versions might say something different there. I don't know. But of course, paradise, you're saying, is a realm of heaven for those who are going to the final rest with God
right. In
all eternity. So that is, but you are you distinguishing that paradise, which is a godly place, a godly resting place maybe, with the return to the Father, which Jesus said, I have not yet done yet, not yet done.
Well, yeah, and Mark, that question came up last week, and my one sentence summary of that is, I think what John 20:17 is what it's saying is, let me get my knots in the right order here. It's not talking about where he's been. It's talking about where he's going. Because if you look at the verbiage of the text, Jesus is not making any claims about where he's come from. What he's saying is, I first need to go talk to my brothers, and then I can go to the Father. Because in his resurrected form, Jesus had not yet been to the Father. But I don't see that text saying that Jesus did not go to heaven at his death.
Yeah, that's why I'm wondering as far, we're really distinguishing between the presence of God and a realm of heaven.
Well, and I don't think I would say it that way, Mark. I mean, I think paradise is simply another name for heaven. I mean, let me use an analogy this way. If I were to tell you that I'm about to drive down to the Sunshine State, where am I going?
You're going to Florida.
No, I'm not. I'm going to the Sunshine State. And I feel like that's how a lot of conversations with brethren about paradise are. If I say I'm going to paradise, oh, no, you're not going to heaven. You're going to paradise. It is the same name. It is just a different name for the same place. Because if you look at that Revelation 2 verse 7 passage, what the overtones of paradise are the perfect, peaceful garden of God. And it is simply another name for the realm of life where God is. So I don't think I would call paradise a different realm from heaven so much as I would say Florida's the Sunshine State.
Question.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Okay. Looking at John 20:17.
Yeah.
Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. I think maybe what he's saying here is that I, in my resurrected form, have not yet ascended to my Father.
I think exactly.
He's been to paradise, but his resurrected body and his new form had not yet ascended into
heaven. Because listen to this, Jerry. This is from Luke. But listen to Luke 20, verse 46. 23:46. This is Luke 23:46. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Where did the spirit of Jesus go upon his death?
To God.
To God, to heaven, to the Father. And in what John 20, I mean, John 20 is kind of like 1 Corinthians 15. It is another just resurrection text of the New Testament that just shouts resurrection. He's talking about, in my resurrected form, I have not yet ascended to the Father. And because I haven't ascended yet, I still need to go show myself to the brothers. And there are still some things I need to tell them. There are still some things I need to do for them. And before I ascend to the Father, let me just tell you the things that need to be done. Does that make sense, Jerry?
Uh-huh. I'm not really sure why he said, don't cling to me, but.
I can deal with that another time.
Okay.
I can deal with that another time. That's an interesting phrase that actually Paul picks up on in other places, but I'm not getting on a tangent today. I'm not getting on a tangent today, so I'm going to stay focused.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, well, let's keep going then. Let's keep going. So I've worked through the first two questions here. This is back on the page. My next italics, all bodies go to Hades. Like Jesus, all bodies go to Hades. The grave, the pit, the place of death where they breathe their last. Look over to Revelation 6. This is a fascinating... look at Revelation 6. Hey, Daniel, read verse 8 for me.
I looked, and behold, an ashen horse, and he who sat on it had the name Death, and Hades was following with him. Authority was given to him over a fourth of the earth, to kill with sword, and with famine, and with pestilence, and by the wild beasts of the earth.
Whenever Hades strikes, what does Hades bring?
Death, I mean.
Death. Always. And y'all, this is where I go back and say, Hades is not a neutral term in the New Testament. Every single time the term Hades is used in the New Testament, it is seen as a horrible, terrible enemy that God is seeking to overcome and that needs to be avoided at all cost. Okay? Let me show you one of the, this is interesting. And Mark, you brought up, you know, the, some of the charts. Bruce showed me some this last week to help me get me a better idea of what some of these look like. But like, there's just this small little line between Hades and heaven, or torment in heaven. I think is what those charts said, but look over to Revelation 5. If you look back to Revelation 5, it says in verse 3, no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth. Let me read this one more time and I'm going to put my chart up here. Listen to this again. Revelation 5:3. No one on earth or in heaven or under the earth. The separation between Hades and heaven is not a little thin little line. It is literally worlds apart. It is the world apart. Does that make sense? Whenever we think of Hades, we need to think of Hades as the opposite, the enemy of heaven. Because whereas heaven is seeking to bring about God's reign and God's rule and God's life, Hades is simply seeking to bring death. And that phrase there, under the earth, is just it's a metaphor to describe Hades. Because Hades is, you know, what you said last week, Mark, we need to think of these ideas in terms of spirituality rather than mere location. And the metaphor that always describes Hades is down. It's under the earth.
Ron, I think, too, that's why you mentioned a couple of weeks ago in Revelation 20, verse 14, in Final Judgment, it says both death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire.
Yes. Yep. Let's go ahead and go there. Let me just keep reading down, and we'll look at that verse, Daniel. So then, y'all, this is back on my chart, my page for today. Unrighteous spirits go to Hades. While the spirits of the righteous go to heaven upon death, the spirits of the unrighteous go to Hades, awaiting final judgment. And I deal with this in the paper a bit more detail. But again, we get very little detail about what's going on there. It's a place of torment. It's a place of death. But we get very little detail about what's going on there other than awaiting for resurrection. A resurrection for judgment in this case. And then finally, Hades will be destroyed. Having defeated Hades in his resurrection, death and Hades will one day be destroyed in the lake of fire. Look over to Revelation 20. This is the passage that Daniel just mentioned. Daniel, read this whole thing for me. I want you to do Revelation 20, verse 11, down through 21, verse 1.
Okay. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And then if one's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea.
So do y'all notice here that even Hades is destroyed? Even Hades is destroyed? And eventually Hades itself is destroyed in hell. Revelation doesn't call it that here, but at other times that's hell, the eternal place, the eternal place. So, Joni, let me answer your question here. Joni asked, I thought, I was understanding, but now I'm confused again. If Hades is a place of torment, this means our bodies are tormented before resurrection. No, it's the spirit. It's the spirit. Okay. All bodies, Joni, and it's a good question. I'm glad you asked it. Or Jennifer, it may have been Jennifer. I'm sorry, Jennifer. All bodies simply go to the grave, okay? All bodies simply go to Hades, the grave, the place of death, okay? But the spirits of the unrighteous go to Hades, a place of torment, before the second coming. Does that make more sense? Go ahead, Jennifer. Feel free to come on here with me. Okay, great. And y'all, this is where I go back and say, make sure we're distinguishing body and spirit here. If you approach these texts with body and spirit in mind, a lot of these texts and a lot of these questions, I promise, will work themselves out.
Hey, Ryan. Another sad thing I think about the unrighteous is they're never promised resurrection.
Yeah. No. No, and we'll talk about that next week, Randy. Is that they are never promised the life that's going to come from that. And y'all, and let's come back here just for a second here, Darlene. This is actually going to answer your question here. Think of Hades as the her question was about death and Hades here. Think about Hades as the realm of death. And death is the actual power. Okay? So, y'all, whenever we talk about these charts, or we talk about the cleansing of heaven, or we talk about resurrection of the body, all of these ideas, let us not forget that ultimately what we're talking about here, and this is what I called it at the top of the chart here, is really the difference between life and death. This is really the difference between life and death. And while there are certainly, I think, many practical applications that will come from this study, we'll deal with those another time. Again, I'm not chasing a rabbit today. But this is ultimately all about life and death. And that is why these studies have to be so sobering for us, is they're reminding us what's going to happen to our body and to our spirit, both in the interim and then for eternity. Well, believe it or not, I have 10 minutes for questions. So get your, I know these studies are dense and I know it's a lot of information. And my guess is I'm going to hear from a few of you and probably Wednesday. Okay. I finally came up with my questions. That's great. But for those of y'all that do have some lingering thoughts, go ahead.
I've got one, Ryan.
Go ahead, Matt.
So what would you describe as the spiritual realm then? If heaven and Hades are separate, what is the spiritual realm?
Well, I think that's the only term that I think the Bible really uses for it is the invisible realm. It's the invisible realm. So Matt, let me answer this question going another way here, Matt. Is Earth a visible or invisible realm?
It's visible.
Heaven, visible or invisible?
Invisible.
Spiritual Hades?
Invisible.
And so I really think what we need to think through here is our spirits, whether righteous or unrighteous, are going to an invisible realm until resurrection, and then we'll talk about that next week. So I think rather than saying Hades is in, what did Bruce tell me? Hold on, give me a second here. The way he said that he had heard it before was like, and this is not what I'm claiming here, okay? So I don't want to confuse, but let me just clarify. The way that Bruce had heard it before was paradise is in Hades. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's what Scripture teaches. Paradise is the opposite of Hades. Rather, the way I would say it is, paradise and Hades are in the invisible realm. Paradise is in the invisible realm. Spiritual Hades is in the invisible realm. That's how the Bible would call it.
Did you say the final Hades is hell?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And the unrighteous currently, Bonnie, don't go to hell until final judgment. And that's right. Where God will prepare the lake of fire.
Are they getting the taste of it before the resurrection?
I think so. I mean, I think so. I mean,
if you're the unrighteous spirits?
Yes. I mean, yes. I don't think that they just, you know, cease existence until resurrection. But certainly we learn that there is a torment that is there.
Ryan?
Yeah, Margaret, go ahead.
Could we go back to John 20? When he told them not to touch him, but then when Thomas was there, he told him to reach your finger here and look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. So he let some not touch him and some to touch him.
Yes. Yes.
Hey, Ryan, I do have a version of scripture that might shed a little light on that.
Yeah, so please do.
It's called the Complete Jewish Bible. And so there's some words here that are translated a little different, Margaret, and it says something different. So in 16, Jesus said to Mary, turning, she cried out to him, Rabbi, that is teacher. And 17 says, stop holding on to me, Jesus said to her, because I haven't yet gone to the Father. So there might be a difference between touching and then trying to linger with him, holding on to him. He was trying to get her to go back and tell the disciples something. And she was wanting just to cling to him. So I think that was the difference maybe.
Well, he was somewhat different because his resurrected body was somewhat different because they did not recognize him.
Yes. And that's where Margaret, yeah, that's where, yeah. And I promise I will deal with resurrection bodies next week. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. That would just open. We would be in class for another hour if I were to try to start pursuing that today.
Okay.
Thank you. Wayne, go ahead.
Well, this all started back when you were saying that they sin in heaven. And then last week you were saying there's three heavens. And today you're saying that you're in Hades, and some is in Hades, but they're going to paradise. And Lazarus was in paradise, and the thief on the cross was in paradise. And don't say they're in Hades, but it says they're in paradise. But I'm getting two or three different conflicts of what is being said here with my mind. It's like I said, it started out with sin in heaven, and then I went on here last week, and it was brought up. You said there was three heavens, mm-hmm. And now this week, well, you didn't say that. You didn't say there's three heavens last week.
No, I think that's a common idea, but I think that's a wrong idea. So Wayne, let me talk you through this real quick.
Okay.
So y'all, and Wayne wanted me to clarify for everybody. Wayne, are you and I upset at each other?
No. No.
Are you and I angry at each other?
No, I want the truth. It's what I want, and you know, I want to go to heaven.
Yes,
and I don't want to be. I don't know. The way I feel about it is, why bring up these kind of things that makes you question what you've always believed? Because I'm trying my hardest, and I'm a sinner. And I know every day I sin, and I don't want to go to heaven where they sin at, and I'm trying to get to this place for eternity where there's no sin at. And no, I'm not upset at all.
That's right. And y'all, that's why I want to clarify here. I have appreciated so much the attitudes that I have seen from Wayne and so many others the last few weeks. I know that a lot of these things are I don't think my views are that different, honestly. I really don't. I think they're probably – the way I would say it is probably this. I think a lot of these things are probably underdeveloped, like the idea of a heavenly tabernacle. You know, it's not that I'm disagreeing so much as I am just trying to point out, I think, very important things. Randy and Kirby, I actually talked with both of you for a good while about this last week. Why talk about some things that are probably against what some people have believed for 50 years? What do y'all think?
I think I'll go first, I guess. I'm already turned on. So I just say that we want to fully understand the scripture. And just because I was taught something all my life, I need to make sure that's true. And not that it's false, but there's more that can be added to it. And I believe it adds hope as we see, you know, through some of this understanding, unrighteous people never get to be reunited with their bodies and Jesus and God at the same time. And that should renew our hope as far as being in a hereafter, the final heaven where there's no sin, that's still going to be the case. I think what you said before here really is at the crux, is that it's just never been thought through to this level, I think. And then as we've tried to use a parable, one parable that Jesus taught, or a story that he taught, to show a different point about who's going to heaven, who's not going to heaven, we tried to frame our whole afterlife mentality on, and we needed to look a little bit deeper. So I think we always want to keep searching the scriptures. It strengthens our understanding. It strengthens our faith. It should not peel away at our faith, but it should strengthen it, that there's all this information that God wants me to know, so I will be strengthened, so I will have more power, Wayne, as I fight that daily fight to overcome temptation, that I'll have more strength in knowing what God has in store for me. So all of the things that we study, that we just delve into, that are over and above what we've heard before, it's just that there's more in there than we've ever looked at. And I'm glad that we're doing it, and we commend it.
Amen. Yeah.
My answer will be simpler. I think I, as a Christian, need to always question what I've believed. If I don't question what I believe, am I just taking everything that's told me hook, line, and sinker? That's my first thing. Through these deeper studies of all this material and what we've been doing in the last 4 years, to be honest with you, it has raised my awareness of the awesomeness of God. Yeah. I tried to keep it too simplistic. You know, if I'm a good boy, I get to go to heaven. If I'm a bad boy, I go to hell. And that was pretty much it. You know, and I had a couple of lines that I was taught, you know, to always shoot out these favorite lines of being a saint in the Lord's kingdom. So that's got me away from that. It's just showing me the awesomeness of God. If I'll go deeper than just, I guess the statement I don't like the most through all these studies is, I've never heard this. And then sometimes what comes with that, and I don't want to listen to anymore. So if you've never heard, if I've never heard something, the way I look at it, then let's delve into that and see if that's truth or if that's error. But just because I have heard something new doesn't mean it's not usable for sure.
Yeah. And so, Wayne, let me answer your question here about the third heaven real quick. Y'all go to 2 Corinthians 12. Let's look at this text together. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 12. I think this hopefully should give some clarity here. So, Wayne, I'm like you. I had heard most of my life that paradise was heaven until a few preachers really helped me, who had given these matters a lot of study, to put more just thought into this. Look at 2 Corinthians 12 here. I'm going to read here from verse 2, okay? I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. All right, Wayne, I want you to talk through this passage with me real quick. Looking at verse 2, where did, this is talking about Paul, where did Paul get caught up to?
In third heaven. Chapter 12, verse 2.
Uh-huh.
I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth, such a one caught up in the third heaven.
So he went to the?
Well, I guess the third heaven. Yeah.
So, yeah. So what is the third heaven?
Well, the third heaven, that's the final heaven, the resting place for eternity.
Okay. Now, see, that's where I would disagree here. What I think he's talking about with the third heaven here. So let me go back here real quick, Ryan. What I think he's talking about here is this place right here. He's not talking about final heaven or new heaven. That's not what he's talking about here. And actually, and I pointed this out in the paper, there's maybe one that I would say is contested. But whenever we talk about the eternal resting place of the righteous, the Bible does not use the term heaven. It uses new heaven or eternal life is the one I really prefer because it's far more common in Scripture. So it says whenever he was caught up to heaven or the third heaven, all that's saying is, and this is where I would have a bit of disagreement with some who've taught this. Like some have said, like the first heaven's the sky, the second heaven's outer space, and the third heaven is heaven. I don't buy that because the Bible never talks about second heaven. The third heaven is simply a way of saying the heaven of heavens. It is the heaven of heavens. Like if you go to the heaven of heavens, like holy, 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 the heaven of heavens, he's talking about the realm above where God is. But then if you look at verse 3, I know this man was caught up into
that's in verse 2.
Verse 3. Look at verse 3. Where else did this man get caught up to?
And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth.
Which translation do you have, Wayne?
King James Version.
King James, give me a second.
It's down in verse 4, Wayne.
Verse, how that he was caught up in paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter.
So, Wayne, if you look at verse 4, where did he get caught up to?
He was caught up into paradise, and he heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter.
So here's the point. From verse 2, he gets caught up to heaven. Verse 4, he goes to paradise. Did he go to paradise or did he go to heaven?
He was caught up in the third heaven. And then in verse 4, that he was caught up into paradise.
He went to both. He
heard unspeakable words. But I'm trying to get to the bottom of this myself, but you know, if people are concerned about me and you, it ain't you, it's me, and it's the way I come across, and I'm sorry for that, coming across the way I do, and I think that's where the biggest problem's at, because the way that I deal with things, and maybe I'm not that educated or whatever, that my feelings get in the way of what I'm trying to say or do. And it's got nothing to do with you.
So, no, Wayne, and I appreciate that so much.
I hope that's got everything cleared up. But there's nothing between me and you. There's no hard feelings.
Yeah, he has absolutely no hard feelings.
No, it's all Darlene, right?
It's me. So no, I'm not.
No, and seriously, you know, and Wayne, this is where I want to come back and say, Randy and Kirby, Wayne, Darlene, and I, and everybody else on here, we're just trying to learn together.
Yeah.
And y'all, I have been so encouraged by the attitudes that I have seen the last few weeks. Seriously, I have been on the phone with, it feels like probably at least 30 of you the last couple of weeks talking to you about this. And every time it's, okay, I'm getting this, but I'm not getting this. Okay, this adds a lot of clarity, but I'm still working through this. Okay, I've heard this, but then what does that do to this? And everybody's questions are always different, which is great. But that's the joy of being a part of a family of God's people, is we get to work through these things together. And so, y'all, there's no hard feelings here, and there's no anger, division, or any of that. This is all done in love, and that's what I'm so appreciating about this.
You wanted me to get back with you. This is why I didn't text you or anything, because I've got like 4 pages of stuff. <Yeah. laughs> So I'm still studying.
To be honest, it can be frustrating when you don't understand something. It's not about you don't like the person you're talking with. You're just frustrated. I get that.
Exactly. And it's And some people know how to deal with things a lot better than I know how to deal with them. And that's where the problem.
I don't want to keep beating.
That's where the problem comes across.
46 years it took me.
I have a question for.
Yeah. Hey, Steve, Kirby was wanting to say one thing. Let me go to Kirby. Sure. Come right back to you.
Yeah. So my last contact with the denomination that I was brought up in, when I went to my mom's funeral, and all through that sermon, this individual that was doing the funeral kept saying over and over and over again, we've been told and tradition says. When I tried to study with my parents, the answer was, we've been told, tradition says. You just need to listen to what the preacher is saying. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to get in that rut. And I don't want any of us to get in that rut. My parents were lost because of that, because they would not study the scriptures. It was going by what someone told them.
Yep. And that's where, Kirby, I think that's such a good reminder for all of us is, Wayne, I know a lot of, and I'm guessing, Bruce helped me clarify a lot of this last week on the phone. You'd probably heard growing up, paradise and heaven are two different places. And yes. My estimation, is that right, Wayne?
I think I've always heard you go to paradise and then the judgment, I guess, then you go on to heaven. But the people that's not the sinners go to Hades, and the saved people go to paradise. Yeah. And
that's what I would say. This goes back to a comment Steve made a few weeks ago. What I'm trying to do here is just offer, I hope, some more accurate verbiage with this. And then I think we'll see some other things that flow from that as well. And I appreciate the attitude, just wanting to learn and examine, et cetera. And Kirby, thanks for that reminder. All right, Steve, go ahead.
Just want if it's an accurate thing to say that, we've talked about how Hades will no longer exist after judgment. In like manner, heaven, as it exists now, will no longer exist after judgment. What will make it different is we will be there. That's a new heaven, and that's what we will find or be at. Whether it's a different place, is it inaccurate to say it's kind of a transformed or changed? It's absolutely. Because of inherently
complete,
because we are there, it's different.
Yes, absolutely.
Right now, of course, we're not there. Absolutely. So it's a new heaven involves us in it necessarily.
And this is a great comment for us to close class on, Steve.
Wait.
I'm sorry, Charlene. Go ahead, Charlene.
Well, no, make your comment. I just wanted to have you comment on John 5:28-29, because a moment ago you said the unrighteous wouldn't be resurrected.
Yeah, let me deal with that next week, Charlene. Yeah, okay. Really good question. Yeah, it's a really, really good, really good question. I will make sure to deal with that text for you next week when we talk about
it. All that confuses me.
Yeah.
Ryan?
Margaret. Ryan. Yeah, Margaret, go ahead. Go ahead, Margaret.
Sounds like you're judged when you die. You either go up or you go down.
Correct.
So you're judged right then?
Yes.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about that second judgment next week as well.
Okay.
Yep. All good questions.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Well, Charlene and Margaret gave us a perfect precursor for next week, and I'm going to close by what Steve said. If we're able to use my little mind here and try to think through the glories of heaven, and you go back to the days before Genesis 1, what would have been in heaven? The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And yet, God wasn't done. Our loving Creator created a world that was good, but that creation gave way to sin. And sin is raging in heaven, sin is raging on earth. But God one day is going to wipe it out, and he is going to make a final heaven, a new heaven, a complete heaven, a transformed heaven that will never, ever, ever be corrupted. And what's made it better? Us. Why? Well, I'm going back to my one-liner here, y'all. Heaven is a cleansed place for cleansed people. And I think when we understand that the new heaven, the final heaven, is going to be that way because it's filled with people who have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. How deep the love of God is. And y'all, that's what I really hope above all else comes from this study, is not just more accurate, terminology. Yeah, that's one part. Just a greater appreciation and attitude toward a place that itself has been cleansed and that we one day will get to be a part of. And then it's complete. And then it's done. And how marvelous that is. All right. Well, Mark, will you close us in a word of prayer, please?
Let's pray.